Mini episode 633 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Royalty Tours USA, your ultimate resource to traveling in style to attend sporting events. Follow them on the web at royaltytours.blogspot.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, everybody, your favorite football talkers in all the land, Rick Morris and
Kyle
Ross.
Are you on board?
Are
you ready
Lounge.
To do this?
Yes, I am. Yes,
okay,
I am.
Sure.
We are. Yeah, we're talking NFC at midseason. We just did the AFC at midseason and had a little confab here in between the break. By the way, as I glance over at your water bottle here, you do know that I still have out all the drink packets and stuff. You could still put a little something-something in that. So
now you tell me.
I can cover for you the 20 seconds it takes to run over to the stove. But
it's okay.
All right, well.
We'll see.
We
Maybe by the time we get to Minnesota, I might be licking my chops, and I might go get some more. I need a refill of energy by the time we get to the Vikings, because I think that's
that.
Going to be a bone of contention that we have.
I'm pretty sure that it is going to be, actually, yeah.
It'll be funny that we yell at each other, and then we have, like, a one-game difference prediction.
we probably will. Yeah. Well, I'm not really forecasting records per se here at this point. I'm eyeballing within a game or two where I got them at.
Oh, how convenient, after you forced me to pick two wildcard teams in the AFC.
Well, listen, I'm picking wildcard teams also here, too. I'm just not stipulating what the records are going to be.
Okay, so
they're going to be in with 8 or 9 wins, whatever. Like that kind
you
of
didn't
thing.
Like what I did. All right, so the NFC is a little more interesting than the AFC in that it's not so clear-cut. We actually have really no rhyme or reason how we're going to break this particular conference down. What's interesting is...
Yeah, we kind of struggled with this off-air.
...in that we do agree on the 6 playoff teams. Which
I think
that's different
than
the AFC, where
right.
we disagreed. Well, we only disagreed on one team in
that's
the AFC.
Right.
We only
that's
disagreed
right.
on one. I had Kansas City, you had Oakland.
Albeit I had Oakland as a 6, you had KC as a 5.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. This is interesting in that there's certainly more contenders left for the
yep.
playoffs. There's less terrible teams. I do think that possibly the worst team in the league resides in the NFC, that being the 49ers. Let's just get them out of the way.
Yeah.
Again, pat ourselves on the back, similar to Cleveland in the AFC.
Right.
You and I had forecasted this team as potentially the worst in the league.
By the
before
way,
the
too,
year. I had them at 4 wins before the start of the year, and I'm not sure if they're going to get to even 4.
We said that, and here's the thing, too. In terms of the general shape of the terribleness of the NFC, we were pretty close on that, too, because we said at the beginning of the year, if I remember correctly, outside of the 49ers, there won't be that many teams that are that horrible.
Well,
we were kinda
here's
right.
the thing. There are two teams. I mean, really, is there anything else you can say about San Francisco other than what an abysmal decision it was to run off Jim Harbaugh. I mean, I don't care if the guy's an asshole.
No,
I don't care if he's boorish.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like running off a quarterback. Do you run off a good quarterback? No, you don't run. I mean,
right.
this is a dumpster fire. They've benched Kaepernick in favor of Blaine Gabbert. It's a team that...
when Blaine Gabbert is the answer, you're not asking the right question.
No. I mean, this is a team that very clearly is, you know, kind of doing the NFL's equivalent of tanking. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't win.
Not intentionally. They're just not very smart, Kyle Ross.
Well, yeah, I mean, they will not be favored the rest of the year. I don't think they've been actually favored even once this
no.
year. They have not been. So they will go the entire 16-game slate without being favored. I mean, I suppose if crazy things happen, maybe they could get favored at Cleveland. But I don't think
Doubtful.
So.
Doubtful.
I don't think so. So, so that's about the 49ers. So with the NFC, it's interesting that regression has hit two teams hard.
Yep.
Dallas and Detroit, two playoff teams a year ago. Hard to remember.
Considering that San Francisco was 8-8 last year, we could lump
them
in too.
They're a regression team too. I mean, I always talk about this every year. Roughly a third of the league will see its win total fluctuate by 4, either go up by 4 or go down by 4. The NFC appears to be the conference where there will be more fluctuation.
By the
fluctuation.
Way, let's just put this out there too, in terms of an almost historic drop-off. Kyle Ross, at the end of the 2013 season, we were one Richard Sherman play in the end zone, one famous one from the post-game interview, away from the 49ers winning their second NFC championship in a row. This is how quickly this has come. When we talk regression of the 49ers, it's 2 years in a row. Keep in mind what a sour disappointment 8-8 was a year ago. So the 49ers have sharply regressed 2 years in a row. The Lions, you're right, they have regressed. They have been in a horrible spot at this point. And, again, defensively, we knew it would happen with Ndamukong Suh going to the Dolphins and Terrell Austin. I'll tell you what, that's a guy I feel bad for, a very hot head coaching candidate in the last year or two, not so much anymore. Everybody on this staff is looking like they're going to be lucky to keep their jobs coming out of this year.
Yeah, Detroit was a lucky team last year.
They were.
And they were a team that you and I both had regressing. It's just going to be worse. I mean, I had them at 7 wins. It's more like 4 now.
Yeah.
Dallas, it's very easy to understand the regression. Letting DeMarco Murray walk was, I thought, okay, and they could get away with it.
Right.
Losing Des Bryant, and then even worse, Tony Romo.
Right.
They're in trouble. I mean, this was a team, I had them making the playoffs before the year because you can't forecast injuries.
Yeah.
They're not. I know we're talking about the really bad teams in the NFC, but, Dallas, I still think they're maybe like a 6-win team. Still, once Romo gets back, I mean, things are not looking good. I mean, anyone who thought Matt Castle was going to be the answer over Brandon Weeden.
Right.
That was fool's gold. We brought that up on the show.
Well, the thing of it is, too, is that I can't even believe I'm saying this because of how horrible he was in Cleveland, and I was never in favor of the Browns taking him. I might have been the only guy. I didn't understand them pulling Brandon Weeden because it's a thing where I guess I always believe in a life of, like, don't fool yourself into thinking that just because the other turd is sitting there that smells a little bit less. And Brandon Weeden was getting wrapped for, he's a guy who's not making any plays. Even the things he's doing well are safe. That's the best you're going to get out of Brandon Weeden. Optimum Brandon Weeden is he's not making mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line's still very good. They could still run the ball. I mean, they were pushing. I mean, they've pushed some teams around.
Yeah,
they pushed the Giants around.
Joseph Randall's on skid row right now.
Yeah,
they're counting on DMC.
I mean, he wasn't even attempt. He didn't even attempt to pass over 15 yards last week. So, I mean, they're screwed
until
until Romo's back. I mean,
they're dead for the year. That's why they're in the ugly pile here because, again, you take away these kinds of weapons from him and from the team, and they're not going anywhere. It's that rare kind of a thing.
Pittsburgh, we both projected them to make the playoffs, the AFC. They were able to, believe it or not, tread water without Roethlisberger. I mean, I'm looking at Dallas. Okay, they're at home against Philly this week, a Sunday nighter. Then they have to travel to Tampa Bay, which I know doesn't sound hard, but I'm not sure they win either of those games. And then Romo, I guess, is supposed to be back for at Miami.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe they win that, but I don't know. I'm saying 6 or 7 wins comfortably out of the playoffs.
Easily, yeah, out of the playoffs. I'm saying 5 wins maybe, okay. 4 or 5.
Chicago is a team that I foolishly thought might be better than a lot of other people thought they might be. It's very clear that John Fox is kind of looked around and like the mess he inherited. And I know that you have said some criticisms of such coaching mentality. I can't win with this.
Right.
But he's going to remake this roster in his own image. I think Jay Cutler, although it can't all be pinned on him, the Bears' lack of success, he's gone after
probably
this year. They'll probably draft
him. It's a hefty contract to eat, though.
Yeah, so maybe I'm wrong, but I think that this team's going to maybe draft his replacement early because they're going to have an early pick. They're going to have a top 7 pick. I don't see this team winning more than 5 games.
Right.
Chicago, I mean, what they've won 2 so far against Oakland and Kansas City.
Kind of surprising in both instances.
Well, I was on that game against Oakland, remember.
Okay.
But I was not on the one against Kansas City. Those 2 wins have come by a combined 3 points.
You know what?
They've been more competitive generally since Cutler's been back. I mean, when people were writing them off as, OMG, worst team in the league, they were looking at 6 quarters of the horrible Jimmy Clausen.
Well, the thing,
their other losses have actually all been close. They played Green Bay tough, only lost by 8. Minnesota could have won that game, lost by 3, lost by 3 to Detroit in overtime.
I am at least impressed with the moral fiber that John Fox and the front office have shown relative to other teams. They didn't gutlessly scapegoat somebody the way that the Colts or the Titans did. They just realized that they're not very good. The Colts and the Titans still believe their own press clippings that they're better than what their record says they are.
Here's the problem with the Bears. Their next four games, at San Diego, at St. Louis, home for Denver, at Green Bay.
Oy.
So,
they win two, maybe three games the rest of the way.
Yeah, that's what I said. I mean, they do it late in the year when things are all going to be over and they're just playing for next year. They do host San Fran, Washington, and Detroit.
Okay.
Chance they could be favored in all those three. So, like I said, this is probably a five-win
Then
team.
Again, though, they may have completely mailed it in by that point.
That's true. I mean, they could be tanking for a higher pick, especially against Detroit. If they get swept by them, they'll get a higher pick. So Chicago's not going
to
make the playoffs.
Nothing to see here.
Washington, no. I think this is a team that is who we thought they were, 6-10 at the start of the year. I know Kirk Cousins thinks he's so tough now, but this is a team that is, again, going to move on from its quarter. We talked about this in the AFC, moving on from quarterbacks. The quarterback of this team next year, I'd be shocked if it's Kirk Cousins, RG3, or Colt McCoy.
They're in a good place, though, as far as starting the rebuilding process. This Scott McClellan, all right, there's some off-field drama with this cat, okay? There is. There just is, okay? Especially with the ladies. But still, he is an impressive judge of talent. He is somebody who played a role in the acquisition of talent for both the 49ers and the Seahawks in recent years. Redskins are on the right path, whether people like it or not, and most people won't like it because Dan Snyder admittedly is an a-hole, but he's doing the right thing. You put this guy in charge. You let him pick the groceries. I don't know if Jay Gruden survives another year. I think he might because there's no obvious case to can him based on how they're playing. Can you honestly say they should be better than 3-4?
No. I think 3-4 is fine. I think they'll take it. I think they're going to be worse in the second half.
Yeah, so I think they're probably going to do the right thing and keep him. Although, again, McClellan inherited him as a coach. Always a dangerous situation.
Yes, I see them finishing 6-10.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
They're more respectable than teams we've talked about so far. We're moving in the direction of more respectable teams, clearly.
Tampa Bay was a team that I had high hopes for at the start of the season. I immediately threw them away when they lost to Tennessee in that first game.
They're not nearly as bad as they looked at that point.
No, so they play the Giants in Week 9, and we'll talk about this in our mini-episode where we go through our picks. Listen, be sure to check that out. We talked about that Browns-Rams matchup a couple weeks ago as the battle of maybe the league's two most schizophrenic teams.
Yep.
The Bucs and Giants.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the Giants. You talk about schizophrenic teams. The Bucs were really outplayed by Atlanta.
This game's sponsored by Lithium.
Yes. I thought they were really outplayed by Atlanta last week and won that game.
Right.
Which is ironic because there have been games, one against Washington, the aforementioned Washington football team.
Redskins, you mean? Yeah.
No, I mean Washington football team. Carolina was another one where they really outplayed the opposition and lost. So they've been a real hard team to get a handle on. They will improve. I mean, this was an easy candidate to project improvement for coming off a 2-win season. But it's not going to be to the degree that I'd hoped for. I mean, that best-case scenario basically went right out the window when they got hammered by Tennessee. You could see that it wasn't going to be a best-case scenario. I could still see this team getting 7 wins, though. Going over that win total
possibly
of 6.
Seven. I think 6 is still more likely.
Okay. They were projected for 6 at the start of the year. I'm still clinging on to that over bet, so I'm going to say 7. But it would be a shock to see this team make the playoffs. I think Winston has some great. Lovie Smith, by the way, I'm not sure if he's the man for this job.
No.
I know we've been guarding against knee-jerk reactions, getting rid of coaches in other instances. His schemes kind of seem antiquated.
There's that, and the fact that he's kind of an older guy, too. Isn't there a presidential candidate who's been calling people low energy? I mean, isn't that what you think of when you think Lovie Smith?
Yeah, I mean, they've got good pieces on this team, but not good overall units, you know?
You know what it is, too?
They've got two very good defensive players, but, the overall units aren't very
good. Just the fact that, and it's a cliche in sports about the pendulum between the Larry Bowa type to the Charlie Manuel type. Okay, the last head coach, Greg Schiano, pretty much conducted himself like a terrorist. So let's move to the, Lovie Smith, he's a beloved older guy who's more of the players, and so it's more of a toned-down kind of a situation now. So, the pendulum will probably swing back towards somebody who's a little bit more of a pain in the ass, and we'll see how that works out for them in Tampa Bay, but at least they have their quarterback in Winston. I think that much has been shown already.
Yeah, and they're due to turn around at home after their terrible record the last two years there. Sticking in the NFC South,
yeah.
I'm just jumping all over the map here with you. New Orleans, a team that was written off fairly early but has somewhat righted the ship. They're 4-4. But if you remember preseason, I kind of thought they'd be 8-8, 9-7. I think that they, too, are who I thought they'd be, and that is a team that is kind of able to hold on for one final year. I still think the bottom may drop out next year when it's time to rectify that salary cap. But I don't see New Orleans, as good as the offense looked against the Giants, making the playoffs. I still view them as an 8-8 or 9-7.
You know what? I'll tell you what. As I look at the schedule here, they may have the softest schedule remaining of anybody we've talked about so far. It really, really is unbelievable. I mean, I don't have them as a wild card, but you could make a hell of a case on schedule alone. There's one game where they should be a steep dog, and that's Carolina.
As a matter of fact, Football Outsiders, as you say that, I check, has the Saints with the easiest projected schedule in the entire league from here on out.
See, like I like to talk about, Kyle, I gave it the eye test when I told you that. So the numbers backed me up on that, unsurprisingly. But listen, nine wins. I could see nine. And hey, nine might be enough to get it on the tiebreaker.
Here's the problem, though.
If they won 10, I wouldn't have a heart attack. Here's... And I'll tell you what, and I don't have a lot of regard for the Saints.
Wow.
I've been saying Drew
10
Brees
wins.
Dude, this schedule is cake. This schedule is pure cake.
Holy God Almighty.
Kyle, it sucks.
Holy God Almighty. You want to find nine other guys and play this schedule?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying,
Tennessee,
Kyle.
Washington, bye. Houston, Carolina, Tampa, Detroit, Jacksonville, at Atlanta.
I almost want to scratch out what I wrote and give them one of the wild cards. They can get it on
schedule.
I'm not going to. I'm not going to.
Because
I'm not that far off in my initial assessment of them.
Let's let cooler heads prevail here.
I know.
Do you know what the Saints have working against them?
What?
They're not going to finish better than third in their division.
Well, I was going to say Rob Ryan. But,
okay, all right. Well, that too. And that's trouble. You talk about, because Atlanta and Carolina, who we'll get to,
right,
when we talk about actual playoff teams, are going to make the playoffs, probably 10 wins. Look, I know that over in the AFC, we've seen three teams from the same division make the playoffs the last 2 years. It's going to be hard here. And I it's easy to fall in love with what you've seen the last couple weeks and forget about the previous weeks before that. The Saints, everyone was writing them off when they were 1-4. And I know, again, the schedule is a lot easier. But, I mean, you know, they beat Dallas without Romo.
They just beat the three teams that they beat are all better than anybody they're going to play the rest of the way except Carolina. That's what's amazing.
And they get Carolina at home, too.
Yeah,
And they gave him a run without Brees.
Boy. Because I haven't changed my opinion much on the Saints. I haven't. But it's the schedule can be destiny. The schedule can be destiny. I mean, they just, wow.
I'm sticking with 8-8, 9-7, not making the playoffs. I'm sticking with it.
I'm going to say 9-7.
I think
if I say 9-7,
I'm going to say this, despite looking at the schedule, is their ceiling. Their ceiling is 9-7, and that's too low of a ceiling.
If I say 10-6, I have to give them a wild card. I'm not prepared to do that based just on schedule. But I'll tell you this about the Saints as I look at this here, because, you know, this schedule is just so absolutely incredible the rest of the way here. We were saying
they started to turn around at home again.
Yeah, they did. I don't know if such parimutuel bets are available, but how much money could you have made if you were able to bet on the NFC South getting either two or three playoff teams coming off of last year?
That's pretty crazy.
You'd be a rich man.
Well, we did, I think, agree that all four teams stood to be improved this year.
We thought they'd be tightly cloistered around 500.
Yeah, I didn't think there would be two dominant teams.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, there's across-the-board improvement in the NFC South this year.
That Saints schedule is not to be believed. I'm speechless.
Well, you know, part of the reason is, though, that the NFC South drew the AFC South this year. That's part of the improvement. And I'm looking right here. Atlanta has the projected second-easiest schedule right above New Orleans.
Right.
So they're playing a lot of the same teams. Kakalaki, 25th, so that's not hard. And then Tampa Bay, 23rd.
Okay.
So, you know, no one here, you know, okay, while New Orleans faces the easiest schedule of the lot, no one's facing a proverbial
murderer's row. You're right about that.
Okay.
All right,
so we've eliminated those.
More of a near miss than we thought.
Yeah, so now it's when it gets a little trickier. Even though we agree on the same six, I think we've eliminated 2, 2, 2. We've eliminated 7 teams from the NFC.
Yeah.
9 to talk about, 6 spots. Let's do...
You got...
let's do... Do we do the great debate now?
You know
what?
Do
we do the great debate?
Why don't we hold it for a second? Because neither one of us thinks the Rams is going to make it, but they're in the picture.
Well, here's the thing with the Rams.
Yeah.
So everyone considers the NFC West to be a two-horse race mm-hmm. with Seattle and Arizona. What is interesting about that is that St. Louis beat them both, and that needs to be taken in regard. St. Louis, I told you I was kind of buying in a little bit at the start of the year. I projected them for 9 wins, and I kind of see them there, to be honest. I'm sticking with St. Louis is another one. I'm sticking with St. Louis. Let's, as we consult the schedule here.
And I'll tell you what, too, and I want to make a point here about
the fact that they're 2-0 against Arizona and Seattle so far is huge.
Well, and Todd Gurley didn't factor into the Seattle game, but as far as what he has done since then, and the fact that they look like they may actually be a different team this year to whatever degree, when you go to the root of the whole debate year in and year out of guys who are the most valuable player in the league, that's kind of what it comes down to if you're just taking the technical definition of the term. Kyle, there will be very few people at the end of the year, if he holds up physically, and it looks like he's going to, it looks like he's back 100%, there will be very few people that will more closely fit the definition of most valuable player and one of the few non-quarterbacks in this regard. It's hard to be a non-quarterback and have the kind of impact that he has had thus far in St. Louis and may have the rest of the way. You talk about a guy that's the real deal, and again, could be the poster child for a new generation coming in here, Ezekiel Elliott, Fournette when he hits the NFL. We may be seeing the return of the bell cow, and Todd Gurley may be the poster child.
I don't know if bell cow. I think you're just going to see a little more influx of talent at that particular position. The defense has been as good as advertised, 4th in DVOA. Mm-hmm. The offense, though, is still struggling a little bit, 28th. I still have some.
Right.
As much as Gurley's been a welcome addition.
Big difference maker.
And they're starting to use Tavon Austin creatively. I know that we still have some issues about him on a play-by-play basis. I still think...
Gadget plays. Yeah. I'm going to turn a gimlet eye towards that, you know?
I still think that this offense... Well, let's be honest. He's had some big plays in their last 2 wins.
Yeah.
Which have been partly responsible for that. I still have questions about their offense. And I
do, too.
I'm projecting the same 9-7 record for them that I did at the start of the year.
Okay.
So they're not going to be in. So we're down to 8 for 6 spots.
Let's save great debate for when we get to the cusp of it. Because then after the great debate, then we have the 6
okay.
teams.
Okay. I hope so it is a good debate. We've hyped it too much. So we've got the East. We've got the East division winner.
Yeah.
Do we agree that this... Now, this division's not the AFC South. Make no mistake about it. I think that you could make an argument that, you know, each of the 4 teams in the AFCs have something to hang their hat on. Dallas, we talked about, said the bad injury luck. You know, Washington is starting to take some steps back to respectability. But the division race, to me, is between the Giants and Philly.
Yep.
And I look at the last week of the year, the Giants are going to host Philly in a big revenge spot. Remember, they got embarrassed by them on Monday night?
Yep.
The Giants are such a bizarre team in that they've been outgained in all but 1 game this year.
Mm-hmm.
But they've had a lead in every game this year.
Right.
There have been a number of games that... You look
away.
At and you're like, oh, well, why didn't they win? I mean, the New Orleans, they were up 49-42
right.
against New Orleans. What, they tied the NFL record
right.
for most points scored in a loss mm-hmm. last week against the Saints. So it's been tough, but truth be told, I didn't have them running away with this division. I didn't have them having a great record at this point. I believe their late season schedule is a little bit easier from here on out than mm-hmm. the first half, as I look. That's really not true at all, to be honest with you, according to the numbers, as they, I guess, were allegedly had one of the easier schedules in the first half and projected one of the hardest in the second half, so that's not a good sign. They do have to play New England. They have to play the Jets. They play Carolina. Now, all those games are at home, though, which is
right.
big. At Minnesota, that could be kind of big, even though it's a non-division game. But I go back to the fact they're hosting Philadelphia in Week 17. I think that's for the division. The Giants were my pick before the start of the year to make it. I got them 10-6, Philly 9-7, which is what I had before the year, and I'm not coming off of it.
Here's the thing, too, is that, and again, with the Giants and the Eagles, you're talking about two teams that are very erratic. But nevertheless, so it can be hard to wrap your arms around what I'm about to ask you, but particularly when you look at the offense, who's got the higher ceiling? It's the Giants. There's no question about it.
Now, their defense, you know, it was funny because you had mocked me and a lot of other people had mocked me for picking the Giants before the year because of that the defense was so suspect.
Yeah, I saw how
leaky that unit could be against New Orleans, but they're not going to face Drew Brees in the Superdome every week.
Right, right. I'm going back on my pick because, again, and my pick of the Eagles before the season was partially because I was trying to do the thing, well, you can't pick everybody to get back in. But you know what? Right now I'm throwing that out the window. And the Giants weren't in the playoffs last year anyways. So even with their horrible defense, listen, we've come to grips with the notion that there will be some super flawed teams making the playoffs this year. The Giants' defense blows. The offense is erratic. Get over it. They're making the
Philly's
playoffs.
Defense has actually been pretty good. According to the numbers,
they have been
better than expected. The Giants have largely been better than expected too.
Yeah,
I mean, last week killed them, but
the Eagles have been far better. But again,
oh yeah, number three in DVOA.
Right, but
am I reading that right? The Eagles. Yeah,
that can be a little bit of a thing of lies, damned lies, and statistics. There, I think they're not as good as the statistics show. I think the eye test maybe is a little more true.
What is this with the eye? Who am I embracing debate with Skip Bayless here? The eye test.
Just because he perverts the term eye test doesn't mean anything. But all right, so we
flipped a lot of pages. So we're going with the Giants as the only NFC East playoff team.
The irony is for this concept of great debate, embracing debate here, we both agree that this is a team that we don't have making the playoffs. But I see them as a victim of circumstance and a worthy team who is just going to run into two teams that are better positioned, the Seahawks, who are better than them, and Atlanta, who just... Look, if you spot somebody, you know, 20 yards in a 100-yard dash and they don't have to run as far to hit the finish line, I mean, the Falcons have some – they're thumb on the scale, let's be honest, as compared to what the Vikings have going for them right now. It's not a fair world, and the fact that the Vikings won't make the playoffs is certainly testament to that. But I see them as a team that, you know, would be a legitimate playoff team, far more so than, say, the Giants, who we were just talking about now.
Okay, that can be debated.
They're more balanced. Their defense isn't crappy like the Giants is. Offensively, they're not there yet, but young Ted Bridgewater is coming along
days. Let me state my case with Minnesota. I don't hate Minnesota.
Okay.
I just think that they are not a great team. They're okay. I mean, again, by the way, it's funny that they've unearthed this great talented receiver, Stephon Diggs, which is huge because Mike Wallace, surprise, surprise, is a bust. Charles Johnson hasn't been very good either. So
a big hipster pick before the year.
Yeah. The pieces are the building blocks, I should say, are there.
Yeah.
I just think that this team is kind of the new Rams in that people kind of want them to be, you know, they're the dark horse that everyone keeps, oh, I like this Vikings team. I like what they're doing. You can like what they're doing, but that doesn't mean they're going to make the playoffs.
How long have people been on them, though?
This is year two
of Mike Zimmer.
I'm saying that this was a crowded dark horse bandwagon.
But the Rams have been a disappointment for years. Jeff Fisher and his awful molester mustache, they've been a disappointment for years.
Okay, hold on. But I guarantee you that if the Vikings don't make the playoffs this year, people are going to like them again as a dark horse next year.
You betcha. I will.
You made my point. So they're 5-2, okay?
Yep.
This is a weak 5-2.
Teddy Bridgewater, 64.5% completion percentage. A lot of his passes are not hitting the ground.
Well, yeah, they're not also going very far either, okay? And he's been bailed out by some of his receivers, like that game late in Chicago. They have lost badly to San Francisco. That's looking – I mean, I know it kind of looks like an outlier. But
the flugometer exploded on that one.
By the way, I had the 49ers as a recommendation in week one.
Congratulations on your fluke.
It was a great pick. It was such a great screw the public over pick when they bet the Vikings to favorite. It was so awesome. I like love that. It was my favorite NFL game of the year, I think. They've beaten Detroit twice. This is the Vikings.
How does it compare to your Metropolitan Division game of the year?
I haven't given that out yet. Got to wait for the little value on the Isles on the money line. They've beaten Detroit twice. Jackass. They've beaten San Diego, your San Diego Chargers, who are disappointing. Kansas City, they beat them, I believe, the week after the Chiefs lost Jamal Charles. And they've beaten the Bears. And, oh, by the way, the majority of those games have been close. I would argue, Rick Morrison, you'll hate this, Mr. Eye Test, that their best game they played all year, the Vikings, was the one they lost at Denver. I think that was the best game they played all year. The best game they played all year.
Better than their voluminous victories, 5 out of 7. Boy, what kind of a winning percentage is that? 5 out of 7. That's a pretty high one, if you ask
me. The
interesting
thing about this league, unless they've changed the rules recently, is they will play 16 games.
Yes.
The
schedule does get harder. It's brutal.
Yes, it is very hard. As a matter of fact, do you know who is projected to have the hardest schedule in the second half?
Is it the Vikings?
Yes, it is.
I can believe it. But this is the anti-New Orleans schedule.
Yes. So here's the thing. So they play St. Louis at home and then at Oakland the next 2 weeks. After that, what do I always say about Bridgewater is not as yet to beat a good team? Well, do you know who they play the next 4 weeks? Green Bay, Atlanta, Seattle, Arizona. And they have to go at Green Bay the last game of the year.
I like to do snapshot in time, Kyle Ross. And that win over San Diego at the time, I think, was worth more than we might accrue
Well, guess what?
What?
Just because it was worth something at the time doesn't mean it's worth a hill of beans now.
Yeah, but you're like, he never beat a good team. I think they were a pretty doggone good team at the time, the San Diego Chargers, when he beat them. 31-14, I might add.
Okay, maybe that was their best game of the year.
You think? A game where they beat a good team by 17 points?
They didn't beat a good team by 17 points. They beat a 2-6 team by 17 points. A team that's not is better
they
than 2-6.
They were 1-1 at the time, were they not?
Jesus Christ, we're going to go here. I still think the performance against Denver was better than beating San Diego at home. So I still think, I'm sticking with it. I told you I think the Vikings would... Preseason, I had this as a 7 or 8 win team, which was going to be disappointing to a lot of people. I'm going to say 8 right now. I'm going to say 8 wins. I think they go 3-6 from here on out.
As a token of my esteem for how good I think they are, I'll say 9 wins, missing the playoffs and a tiebreaker. I say they go 4-4 against this brutal schedule.
I think
Bridgewater is going to grow up in the cold of November and December and come out the.
They go 2-4 the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible, but I'll give them 4 wins overall.
Okay.
The rest of the way.
So we're down to our 6 playoff teams.
Yep.
They are. We already have said the Giants win the East.
Yep.
Who do you like to win the South, Carolina or Arizona? Or Atlanta, pardon me.
I have Carolina as the division winner as a 2 seed, and I have Atlanta as a 5 seed. So I have them both in. But again, you and I were saying some weeks ago, because we expected Carolina to fade, you and I were penciling in Atlanta to win the division. I have since backed off of that. Notwithstanding, again, 2 of the most consequential games on the NFL slate the rest of the way. Atlanta and Carolina will play twice.
Yes.
So those two are still in front. I think twice in 3 weeks, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly.
Twice in four.
4 weeks.
Final four. No, it is twice in 3 weeks.
Week 14
and 16.
Yeah, that's stupid. You sandwich one game in between.
Here
that's
we go.
Stupid.
Oh, Jesus.
It is.
Schedule makers. I don't see Atlanta losing many games from here on out.
No, I don't either. But the fact that the Panthers got a 2-game jump on them, do you agree with me the Panthers win the division?
Nope.
This defense is for reals,
yo. Did you hear what I said? Nope.
Yeah.
I said nope.
I'm taking issue with that.
I said nope. I think Atlanta's...
You are not reacting and adapting to the facts on the ground, Kyle Ross. The facts on the ground are the Panthers have 2 games on them, and their defense is better than the Falcons unit, albeit, again, the Falcons have...
Atlanta's going to find a way to win this division. I think Carolina plateaus. I think they're a very weak set.
They might be the weakest 7-0 of all time, but they're still 7-0. They got a 2-game jump on the Falcons.
I can see them playing kind of 500 ball from here on out.
I think they're going to split with the Falcons, but I don't think they're going to go 500 because, like you said, none of the teams.
Well, they can't
because
they have 9 games.
Well, that's true.
Unless they do the old tie
4,
again.
4-1, listen, I don't. Again, none of them have a very hard schedule, so you can't say that, the difference in the schedule is going to make up for it. I don't see that happening. I think
Atlanta's schedule is slightly easier. I think Atlanta's going to eke this thing out. Atlanta's going to go 12-4.
You must figure they're going to sweep the Panthers then.
I don't know if I do. Carolina's got some tricky road games.
I think that's the only way it happens is if they can sweep
them. They've got some tricky road games. They got to go at Dallas on a Thursday. When you're a Thursday road team, and we talk about those Thursday games, Romo will be back. Is that Thanksgiving even maybe? I don't know. Week 12?
Yes, Thanksgiving.
Okay. That's not fun. at New Orleans they still have to go. They have to go at the Giants, at Atlanta. They have some – and Green Bay this week they
host. At the Giants, a division winner by default. I'm sure they're quaking in their boots.
Well, they should be.
They're much better than the Giants, by the way.
Well, I've got them playing in the first round against each other, so we'll see. In the wild card game, Carolina and the Giants.
Oh, very interesting. Okay, so I have Carolina as the 2, Atlanta as the 5.
I have Atlanta as the 2, Carolina as the 5.
Okay, so you...
Do we both have Green Bay winning the North and being the number 1 overall seed in the NFC?
Yeah, not much to say about that. I mean...
They're very good, even though they did not look very good on Sunday night against Denver.
Yeah, and...
I don't see them losing... I can honestly see them going 13-3.
Well, and the thing of it is, too, and your boy Colin Cowherd was doing a riff recently about how much better Brady is than Rodgers. He's turning into a glorified Peyton Manning. He's a regular season guy, one Super Bowl win. What's he do outside of the regular season?
That's a terrible take.
It is a horrible take. I agree
with you.
Hideous
take.
Because
odious take.
Here's
reprehensible take.
Here's the thing. For anybody that actually bothers to watch Packer games... unlike Colin Cowherd, apparently. What is the real separator with the Packers and some of the other teams?
Anyone who goes by wins is kind of a tool.
Yeah, but the real separator in recent years has been defensively. You don't have to have a dominating defense when you have Aaron Rodgers, but you must be, to win the NFC, at least middle of the pack, maybe a shade above. And that's what they have to prove in order to get the job done here. In order to do this and to bring home the Super Bowl, they don't have anything to prove offensively. They do have a little bit to prove defensively. And, again, for as much as I've said on the show on and off over a period of time, I thought when they drafted Clinton Dix, guys like that in the secondary can be, as they say in the military, a force multiplier and really have that kind of effect of making all the players around you better, as Ed Reed did. And a lot of other great safeties as well. Ronnie Lott, I think he can become that kind of player. He's not all the way there yet. Green Bay, I still have enough questions about them defensively. I don't think they're going to run away with the number one seed. And I don't think
I don't think you'll run away. I mean, I think that there's too many good teams in this conference to run away. But they'll probably go the whole regular season without being a dog in any game.
Probably, but they're not going to run the...
I think 13-3, though, top seed.
Yeah, 13-3, that sounds about right. So we got them in there.
Okay, so we have Seattle and Arizona then as our 3-6 seed. Who's the 3 and who's the 6? And by the way, that means they would play in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, Arizona's the 3, Seattle's the 6 in my estimation. I called at the beginning of the year Arizona to win the division, something nobody else in America was doing, might I add. Present company included.
You're so tough.
But here's the thing, though.
Here we go.
I'm going to admit something.
Oh, you are?
And that is, if you look at the way they've played the last couple of years, it's not a good matchup for Arizona. I've got them as the 3, but I now have them, because matchups are so important, I do have them losing the first round game to Seattle. So I do have them winning the West still, but I think Seattle is going to make up some ground in the second half. It will be a 6-3. It will also be a 5-4 because Atlanta is going to go to the Meadowlands and stomp a mud hole in the Giants in the first round. You apparently have the Giants going down also to Carolina, do you not?
I don't know about that. I think Camp Coughlin might announce it. I think he might pull a Ray Lewis and say this is going to be my last ride. And that he circles the wagons for one more.
Well, you look at every 4 years, and I decided to get scientific about this and look at it here with the Giants.
By the way,
success.
Am I allowed to give my NFC West pick?
Oh, go ahead.
I think Seattle wins the division.
Comes back to win. Well, you're the same guy that's picking Kansas City in the second half. You're the same guy that's got all these magical second half projections here. So that doesn't surprise me.
Oh, magical second half. Or am I looking at the schedule here, sir? Atlanta. Oh, by the way, we're going to find out about Arizona. I keep saying Atlanta and Arizona. I keep getting confused.
Yeah.
A.
Yeah.
It's the A.
Alphabet's tough.
Both teams. It is. A comes first in the alphabet, I heard.
This just in.
Arizona's at Seattle, by the way. Both teams will be off a bye in
right.
2 weeks. That'll be an interesting game. So if Seattle does win the division, that's huge for them. I mean, Arizona would maybe having to go. And they also, I believe, play in Arizona the final week of the regular season. Arizona's last two games, both at home, but Green Bay and Seattle.
Right.
That's tough. Arizona's got a much tougher schedule, while Seattle, S comes closer to the end of the alphabet, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
This just in as well.
Their next three games after a bye, all at home. Arizona, San Fran, Pitt. They also have Cleveland at home. They'll have a revenge game against St. Louis late in the year at home. I think Seattle starts racking up the wins. I know they did lose the one home game.
Are you going to do the opposite of me, pick Arizona as the sixth seed, but to go to Seattle and win the first round game?
No, Seattle will win that game.
Okay. But the thing about the East is...
I think Seattle will go 11-5. I'll be honest with you, Rick Morris. Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I haven't upset
11
you.
11-5, wow.
I haven't upset you long enough.
Okay.
I think Arizona only goes 10-6. I think they struggle down the second half.
There's no way that a team that is two games ahead of Seattle at this point is going to be below them in the standings. They may have the same record.
There's no way. We've never seen that in league history. I guarantee
see
we've seen
well,
that.
Well, if Carson Palmer gets hurt, but you're not going out on that limb.
Well, that would be
you?
Mean to say. I'm not going to project someone to get
okay.
hurt. I'm the bleeding heart of this program.
Well, one of the things here, too, that's actually beyond the control of the NFL or anything like that, that really screws the chance for the Giants. Everybody's pointing to every 4 years, miracle run is going to come together. Eli Manning, the last two times out, has been unbeatable right after the Iowa caucuses, but they switched it up this year, Kyle. I don't know if you heard this. That's going to be 2 days after the Super Bowl. The Iowa caucuses are later this year, so Eli Manning isn't going to have a chance to have that sort of convergence kick in the way that he did in 2008 and 2012. It's too late for him.
So you're saying he'll be sitting at home with Rand Paul.
He'll be watching Rand Paul's victory on TV in the snows of Iowa. You heard it here first.
Oh boy.
But the Giants, yeah, I got them getting
darker
snuffed
times
out.
Are ahead for the G-Men. The Giants? No! The Giants!
So my second round games then, I got Seattle then going to Green Bay in a rematch of the NFC Championship game from last year, since I had them as the sixth seed. I do have them succumbing to the Green Bay Packers this time around in the revenge game. I have Carolina defeating Atlanta in the 2-5 matchup. So I have a rematch of the 1997 NFC Championship game, Green Bay and Carolina. Oh. And in a classic revenge spot, I do not have the Panthers getting revenge. They will be unable to avenge that game. I have Green Bay advancing to Aaron Rodgers' second Super Bowl.
I have my NFC semifinals, or I guess I'll go the wild card, Seattle over Arizona,
mm-hmm.
Giants over Carolina.
Wow, okay.
I then have in what could be Tom Coughlin's...
Don't you know they're the home team, Rick Morris? Come on now.
I do have in what could be Tom Coughlin's swan song, the Giants going down to the top-seeded Packers
okay.
in the divisional round. That would be a big revenge spot. Remember, the Giants got Aaron Rodgers, the 15-1 Aaron Rodgers team, and the last time they won the Super Bowl.
Well, and the time before that, ironically, the night...
They got Brett Favre.
Yes, the very night that Breaking Bad debuted. Classic bit of trivia there.
Oh, that's very interesting.
It was, and Breaking Bad was adversely affected in the ratings that night because, remember, that game went into overtime because of the way that it went, and the people at AMC were crapping themselves. Yeah.
Vaguely, I remember that.
I didn't think you would remember that off the top of your head.
I was smoking a lot of weed back then.
back then. Okay.
Yeah. What? So what round are we in again? oh, NFC playoffs. Yes,
you're
okay.
Not listening, are you, Joan?
Yes. I get it now.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Classic inside joke, yes. Ladies and gentlemen.
In the other, I have Seattle going to Atlanta and avenging the most atrocious playoff result in league history when Atlanta
okay.
beat Seattle a few years ago. So that would be a rematch of last year's NFC Championship game, only this year in Green Bay. And I'm sticking with what I said before the year,
mm-hmm.
Green Bay over Seattle win the NFC.
Okay.
And remember, Rick Morris, I said before the year, Green Bay was my Super Bowl pick.
Okay.
I'm sticking with them. I'm having them beating the Patriots, and I'm driving to Bristol, and then I'm going to drive to wherever Fox Studios is,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a slap Skip Bayless. I'm a slap Colin Cowherd. I'm going to start slapping everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because Aaron Rodgers over Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Okay. I would love to see that because I would totally root for them over the Patriots. I loathe the Patriots, but just this whole hate cocktail that they're on. Ugh. I got to go with my head on this one, which
wow,
is Patriots
another
over
Super
Packers.
Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. The hate cocktail gets it done. The little ball of hate. And, yeah, I don't want to believe it. But so it's interesting. You and I have converged on the same two teams here before the season.
We do that a lot, I feel.
Yeah, yeah, we do. Even if we don't agree on who. Like, I remember last year we didn't agree on who was going to. Or did you have Denver at midseason coming out of the AFC?
Yeah, it was funny. Like, I had New England and Seattle before the year. Then
yeah,
I switched
changed.
Midweek.
Okay.
Then I switched mid-year to Denver. Then, but when the playoffs rolled around, I was back to Seattle and New England.
Okay. All right, yeah. And I said Seattle over New England from day one. I stuck to it at midseason. And there, but for a horrible pass play, I would have been right. But there we go. So you and I are picking the same two teams.
Different results.
Super Bowl 50. If it's Rodgers and Brady for Super Bowl 50, how
Roger
much will
Goodell,
be?
The dictator, will be very happy with that matchup.
Yeah, he will be geezing himself all week long for that one to be the case. So there you go. The NFL will be coming to the home of WrestleMania 31 for Super Bowl 50 here. Yeah. So we'll have that to look forward to. But excellent stuff here with you today, Kyle, breaking down the AFC and the NFC at midseason.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.